listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 66, and my name is DJ Chuang, and we're just going to cut right into our conversation. I'm here with Pastor Dusty Craig of Whitechapel United Methodist Church in Southlake, Texas. Thank you, Dusty, for joining me on this podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, DJ. Good to catch up.
Yes, it's been a long time. I've been looking for a way to connect with you, and we finally got our time and our internet and our schedules in sync so that we can talk live and record this conversation.
Yes, we love it.
And you've been a teaching pastor at Whitechapel for a long time. So tell us about your journey and how you got involved at Whitechapel and what kind of a church is it?
Well, I've been at Whitechapel since 2005. And I came in as a youth minister and then started preaching and teaching a little bit more. And we have three kind of main preaching pastors. And so I'm one of those. And I preach on a Saturday night service and then about 20 weeks, weekends in our various worship venues. And then in October of 2010, we launched Whitechapel Online. And so I took that over full time. And so I do preaching and then our oversee our whole online presence and ministry, including our online campus. And so now my title is changed to where I'm now the lead pastor of Whitechapel Online. Wow. And so we kind of dipping our toe into the online world for the last, 3 years or so. And now we're going all in. So that's really exciting.
Let's take a little walk through memory lane. And can you describe how your church decided to launch an online campus?
Yeah.
And what did you have to do to prepare?
Well, so I keep up with churches and do research and, of course, kept up with Life Church and stumbled upon a church online service. And I said, why aren't we doing this? And so I went down to Edmond, up to Edmond, where I'm at, and met with the church online team. That time, Brandon Donaldson was the lead pastor of that. Mm-hmm. And they just opened their doors and resources and showed me everything. I got to check under the hood and see what was behind Merlin's magic tricks and all that stuff. And came back and didn't take much convincing to pitch to my senior pastor. And then I also went and talked to our bishop of our conference. And they said, go for it. So we started off with basically using Life Church's model of pre-scheduled, simulated live online services, and we were going to target unchurched, anti-church, de-church people floating around in cyberspace that happen to click on an ad and find themselves in a service.
Yeah, so how would you target them? Can you get a little more specific in terms of how your ad strategy goes?
So our strategy was, we want people to come into our service, and we want to not pull kind of a bait and switch. We want to advertise it as an online church. But what we're going to do is we're going to advertise it as if people are looking for hope, we want our ad to be enticing for them. And then by them clicking on the ad, and we can engage them in conversation. That was a big goal for us. And so we targeted people on Facebook, certain age demographics, and that's an interesting story. We need to talk about that later. We targeted people that were searching on Google maybe for like depressed or suicide or anxiety or hopeless, and got some really great traction off of that.
Well, the technology moves so fast. So we were trying to connect about 2 years ago. So let's see. Pinterest was invented since that time. Google Plus has come on the scene. Facebook just made another adjustment to their EdRank algorithm. So there's going to be different things showing up in the timeline. So over the course of 2 years, now that you have had some perspective and some experience, what have you learned in terms of what really engages your particular audience?
we have to ride the wave of culture. And so, I mean, when we're trying to target young adults and people under, 18 for certain events that we'll stream or broadcast, we know that it's on Instagram. That's where we have to have that presence. When we want to target, people that we have a large Pinterest following, and that's another portal that people can access us through Pinterest. It was funny because when we redesigned the website about a year ago, I for our social network buttons and whatnot, I said, we need to include Pinterest in our web company. They said, what? Why? I said, just trust me. We need to include Pinterest on this. And so it ends up being one of our higher traffic social media pages.
Well, Pinterest is like 60-70% women. So.
Mm-hmm. And so is church.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's why. So,
I'm looking at your Whitechapel UMC live media page, and you've got five different kinds of services. Talk us through that.
Okay, so Whitechapel is like a small city, and it was a church in 1992. The senior pastor was assigned to shut it down, and in 2012, it was named 10th fastest growing church in the country. And so it was just crazy how fast it grew as the town grew, and we're like in the epicenter of all the stereotypes you've heard about Texas high school football. It is true in Southlake. So we've got three separate worship venues. We have the original chapel that the church started in. It's kind of refashioned, that meets and does kind of like a real very high church with a old Methodist hymnal and a piano player, and it's follows the lectionary, which is deeply rooted in our tradition of how to study the scriptures. And then we've also got our main sanctuary is where we do what is basically a typical Methodist traditional service involving choir, orchestra, and kind of pastors are in robes and communion and things like that. And then we've also got a worship space that some would call contemporary or whatnot, where it's jeans, casual, Hillsong United, those types of venues. So we have all those types of venues kind of going on a Sunday morning at the same time.
And you've got space to do that.
We do, yes.
Yeah,
it's Texas. We got lots of land out here in Texas.
Everything's big in Texas.
I know.
And so what's your average weekend attendance, just to give us a sense of scale?
We're between 5,500 and 6,000.
Wow.
On weekends and then Christmas and Easter, it's big. But, we're not even – we're half a mile from Gateway Church. And, they dwarf us. And Fellowship at Young's Church is not far from us either. So there's just a lot of big churches in the area.
So when there's that many churches in a locality, and then when we go online, there's just over 100 churches now that have online campuses, not to mention the 500-plus that have live streaming.
Right.
How do you differentiate, and how do you stay connected with a particular tribe or audience?
Right. And that's what's interesting, because we're finding that the culture is very post-denominational now. But the online culture, I feel like, is a little bit more progressive in some instances. And so, but some not. But the idea of a denomination, it really doesn't translate to the online crowd that I've been a part of. The reason why is I through the analytics in our initial giving page, people would click to give on the online campus, and they would be taken to a Whitechapel UMC giving page. And we had hundreds of people that didn't click through because they were over here at this Whitechapel online, this hope language, and we sent them to a new site of Whitechapel UMC. They're like, what is that? So the page you're looking at is the Whitechapel UMC live streaming. But we differentiate that with wconline.tv, and that's actually the online campus.
So talk me through how you language this thing, because I'm looking at wconline.tv, and it looks like a landing page for your television ministry.
So wconline.tv, we decided to kind of follow Life Church and look a little bit more like Elevations Network. It's a 24/7 e-station where we restream Bible studies, special events, worship services, and it has a chat functionality. It has a world map kind of where people are at, and the goal behind that is that we want to be able to engage people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with a gospel message, with a message of hope, with the message of grace, and we want people to be able to access that. And so, if for some reason at 2 o'clock in the morning, if someone is down and out and they're struggling or having questions, we want them to be able to have some sort of venue that they can go and have worship or teaching or encouragement. And so that's what differentiates Whitechapel Online Campus versus the live stream experience for Whitechapel UMC.
And then, like right now, I'm looking at the page, and it's got a banner running along top. It's got quite a library of videos that you could click through and watch on demand, kind of like YouTube or Vimeo. And so when there's a live service, does the whole page change into this interactive experience?
Just click on the main rotator graphic.
Okay. Point, counterpoint.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, TV stream. All right.
And we just launched this page, and so we've actually
soft. Wow, it is beautiful.
It's a soft launch, and so we're actually at the first of the year bringing in someone full time to run this site.
And there you are,
your scheduling module, because there's tons of content that we have.
Wow, look at that. Okay, wow, and then you know what's caught my eye is you have a banner ad with bacon. And Bibles and books.
Yes, that's one of our highest people click on it. That's it. I don't care that it launched in August. I want to keep bacon on the website because everything is better with bacon.
That's great. Okay, so this is the online campus experience. Mm-hmm. And then you're driving ads to it through Google and Facebook and presence on other social media.
Yes.
And then you've also got live streams over at your church site. So
yes.
What is going on over there?
Well, what we found out is that the majority of people that are accessing our live stream are people that moved away from Whitechapel. They're college students that grew up at Whitechapel. They're shut-ins. We pipe it into a couple nursing homes, and we feel like that's a great place for our people that are insiders. But Whitechapel Online is really for people that are kind of what we call outsiders, or people that really aren't, that probably are never going to come through the doors of our church.
In terms of your physical campus.
In terms of our physical campus, yeah. Right. We're in the process of doing a complete HD upgrade, which is a big deal for us because, you know, we tend to be, you know, as a denomination, sometimes a little behind the curve. And so for us to make a statement and go, we're so all in on the online, we've got to upgrade to make what they see and hear and experience better so that they'll stay on longer.
Yeah. And so talk to us about numbers then. How has your audience grown over the past couple of years?
It's grown pretty significantly. We see about 1,500 to 1,700 people, unique visitors, on a weekend.
And how are you counting that?
We count it. We run it through Google Analytics. We also run it through an older program that's not getting developed any further, but it's very, very effective, Church Analytics.
Okay.
And then we also monitor our ad performance, and we can drill down pretty deep with those.
Yeah. One of the perennial questions as we connect with different online church pastors is, you know, how do you measure the people that stay and experience your online service? Do you just check IPs at the very beginning, or do you just check 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, or even 30 minutes in?
Right.
So where do you put the ticker?
Well, one of the things we're going to add to this site is we're going to have a cookie that pops up and where people can register their attendance. And so that's one metric. But you're right. I mean, how do you measure at a church service? Does a physical church service, if I walk into the sanctuary while the count is being made and decide that I want to go worship in the chapel next door, who gets the count? Do I get counted twice? I mean, those are questions we have to ask for physical and online campus.
Yeah, and one of the things about digital is you actually have more metrics to track.
You really do.
And so there's definitely a lot more you could do, but deciding what to do is a more challenging question for sure.
Right. And, you know, the digital attention span. Our flagship service for the Whitechapel online campus is called The Hope. And it's pre-recorded, and it's 30 minutes with worship, a host, and with a 10-minute message that tries to not use Christianese too much. And we found that 30 minutes is a nice time frame. If we can get someone to stand for 30 minutes, that's a big win.
That's really cool. Okay, so you're getting wide exposure through the internet, through social media. You want to comment on some of your particular strategies in terms of connecting with people on Facebook or Pinterest or Twitter or some other channels?
Yeah, so we have a online community developer who his sole job is to develop online community. And a big piece of that is he manages all of our social media networks. And he is very aggressive. I sometimes have to tell him to stop posting so much. But he's gotten now into this sweet spot. If you look at the Whitechapel Facebook page, it is pretty phenomenal, some of the stuff that he's doing. And we get a lot of traffic, insider traffic, on that page. And he posts live screenshots of the service. When someone joins our church, he posts welcoming them. And then throughout the week, he'll post quotes from the sermon, give some inspiration near the middle of the week. He's doing a great job with the Facebook. We're seeing really great results on that.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit about your Pinterest, since you have a unique presence there.
Yeah. So our Pinterest page is we just pin interesting things about the church. We'll pin what the pastors are reading. We'll pin some, like if a pastor mentions a Henry Nouwen book in a sermon, we'll pin that. We pin, you know, the pastor's bios, and just it's been really weird seeing people repin all of our stuff. And you're right, the majority of the demographic is some users, you know, female users, but they're very active and aggressive with it.
Well, very cool. Well, yeah. You've got a very engaging and you're active online as a church and on social media. How much of this translates to the people that sit in your pews? Do they use social media in some way to stay connected with physical people over the course of the week?
Yeah, they do actually. You know, we have a team of volunteers, some people that we kind of call our social media ninjas, and we deploy them and set them up to help us spread the word about certain tweets and Facebook posts that we need to get out, and they take it and they run with it. And they know that when we post something important, they know to share it. Recently, one of our students that's away at college had a football player at the national level in college, and it was pretty controversial and missed a couple of field goals, and people were just brutal to him on Facebook and Twitter, and just horrible things. And so we decided we were going to combat that with positive things about him. So we're at mentioning and putting words of encouragement and speaking truth and life into it and getting our people to go and spread that message too. And so that was a really cool way that we were able to use the digital space to interact with physical, you know, human flesh relationships.
Well, excellent. Well, thanks for sharing kind of a 360 of all that's going on there at White's Chapel and White's Chapel Online. And since you are part of the United Methodist denomination, and I was reading an excerpt, or actually a review of a book that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s about the Churching of America, and it credits the Methodists and the Baptists as being the most evangelistic and helping America to respond to the gospel. Now, to my knowledge, there's three Methodist churches that have online campuses, Granger, Church of the Resurrection in Kansas mm-hmm. City, and yours, and you yes. might know some others that have online campuses.
I think some that are doing live streaming for sure.
Okay.
But the campus, because as we're going to get into it, starts to get a little tricky based on our ecclesiology.
Yes. And so the Methodist denomination, and I'm not sure exactly what the terms are for the people, the leaders that gather to make decisions and to discuss issues, is a number of Methodist leaders gather together to discuss the issues related to online worship and sacraments, and in particularly about communion, and that they've issued a moratorium on the matter of online communion. So have you been engaged in that conversation, and what would you comment on that?
Yeah, so I've been engaging on that conversation in my doctoral work, which is my dissertation is in process. It's called Towards a Virtual Ecclesiology. What does the church look like in cyberspace? Mainly, what does the Methodist church look like in cyberspace? So the fact of the matter that this is a conversation at the denominational level, I think is a positive. I think it's just a good thing to have. And I know it's a heavily loaded question, that it's an issue of the Holy Spirit or pneumatology. It's an issue of presence. It's an issue of community or isolation, how you look at it. And it's something that we really just have to get on the table and get the right people in the room and talk about it, because it's very important. Because we have to ask the question, you know, if our founder, John Wesley, were here today and had these means of technologies at his disposal, how would he use them? Or even if you take it back further, if the Apostle Paul had this technology available, would he be Skyping with Rome? Would he be discipling Timothy? And so I think all these questions, and if virtual communion brings this out, I think it's great for the denomination and for the body of Christ as a whole.
Yes, but here you are a Methodist church, you are an early mover when it comes to online church. It's kind of hard to make those moves without having some answers to these questions. So how did your leadership discern that it was okay to launch an online campus? And do you have online communion, and do you have online baptism?
Right. So the reason we decided to go ahead and launch it is because we got the bishop's approval and said, eventually down the road, you're going to have to tackle the issue of online sacraments, baptism and communion. And so our rationale in doing so, in launching the campus, and we do not do online communion nor online baptism, but we have heard stories of people being moved during online communion services. And I don't know, even if with this moratorium, I don't know how we can control that. Officially we don't offer it. But our rationale in going and launching online campus was the digital population might be the largest unreached people group on the planet. We need to have a presence in their world so that we can engage with them and be with them in cyberspace.
Okay. So you definitely take on the proclamation role. So the message is being proclaimed, the gospel, mm-hmm. to all peoples around the world through the internet. You are forming some kind of a community and gathering through the online campus and through the use of social media. Have you visited the question of membership then?
You know, funny you should ask. We had 13 people from Ecuador join White's Chapel. And they joined through White's Chapel Online. And so when our director of involvement reached out to these 13 folks that gather around a TV screen and watch each week, they were very adamant saying, we aren't joining White's Chapel UMC. We're joining White's Chapel Online, which nothing against White's Chapel UMC. It's amazing. But they were really adamant. And the membership vows in the United Methodist Church is that you'll honor this local congregation with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And so what does that look like in online space?
And you being the online pastor, what is your answer? Or what are you operating with?
I don't know, but we're trying to figure it out. I was joking with my senior pastor saying, hey, I think we need to do a follow-up trip, you know, go visit our new members in Ecuador.
But oh, there you go.
Which brings it into a whole other equation of now this decentralizes mission locations, because if the 13 folks from Ecuador, if some of them wanted to go on the men's mission trip to San Antonio to rebuild houses, they can come, and they can just come from Ecuador. So that opens up a whole other can in a good way.
Yeah, the opportunities and then possibilities are endless, and really glad to hear your church leadership and you yourself are really jumping into the water and learning to swim.
Yeah, it's been a blast, and I can't wait to see what the future looks like. And I know there's some challenges, and I know that anytime new technology is on the scene, it has advantages and disadvantages. And so trying to be discerning through that and trying to follow the mandate to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, if that happens in online space, then I think God's all in it.
And to close, and we'll definitely keep an eye on how the Methodist discusses and discerns through this process of online sacraments, what would you offer as an idea to help us sort through that?
I think one of the biggest things for me is to not superimpose our views of presence in community on younger generations, on digital natives. And so because their view of distance from face to screen could be a lot more realer and a lot more connected than it is for us. And so I think we have to keep that in mind as we're making some of these decisions, is that this technology is literally reshaping the makeup of people's brains. And so just because we didn't grow up with it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a meaningful, true, rich experience for those that are up and coming.
Wow. Good counsel, good insight, and thank you so much for joining me here on the Social Media Church Podcast.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much, DJ.
And that was my conversation with Dusty Craig, the lead pastor of WC Online, the online campus of White's Chapel United Methodist Church in South Lake, Texas. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for how you can connect with Dusty Craig if you happen to be Methodist, to get some understanding about how to navigate this momentous time as the Methodist Church as a denomination discerns and discusses how to handle and address the issues of online sacraments. And I've also listed about a handful of other articles as well as resources and other articles and conversations about this matter of online church communion. And the inciting incident happened about a month ago in North Carolina as a church there in Concord, North Carolina, called Central United Methodist Church, is preparing for its launch of an online campus this Christmas. And they wanted to offer online communion with its launch service. And the Council of Bishops, which apparently is one of the leadership structures within the United Methodist hierarchy, had a discussion and declared a moratorium on all online sacraments, which includes communion, and baptism. Those are the two sacraments that most Protestants recognize. And as I was looking into the backstory of this moratorium, I came across some exact wording of what the recommendation was to this United Methodist Council of Bishops. It's rather technical theological language that's very specific to Methodism. And for those of you who are not Methodists, it's not all that meaningful. But again, I've linked to the article in the show notes if you want to read the exact wording of how the Methodist leaders are navigating this pressing issue, as technology is very much changing the texture and shape of how we do church together and express our worship and our sacraments. With some of the other online campuses, they are already celebrating the sacraments, whether it's communion or baptism or both, and that's happening in the Baptist segment as well as in the non-denominational segment. And certainly there are other denominations, whether that's Lutheran or Catholic, and probably Presbyterian, that would not be very comfortable because of their theological convictions and their understanding of Scripture that would not allow for online sacraments. So I want to be respectful for those who read and apply and practice their faith differently within the body of Christ. And yet, this opportunity of the Methodist denomination really considering the seriousness of this issue can be a helpful reference for those of you who are with churches that are independent and haven't yet weighed in on an answer of how you will address the question. As we follow the ongoing development of the Methodist denomination's processing and discussion and thinking behind how they will address the questions of online sacraments, it may be very helpful to other denominations that will need to address these issues in the near future. Also in the show notes, I link to a video chat between Eric Dye and Kenny Jang, who is now the online campus pastor at Liquid Church. He was the first featured guest here on the Social Media Church podcast when he was the innovation pastor, and now he has also taken on the role of online campus pastor. So maybe we need to have him back here for a revisit and continue a conversation of how and what he's learning in the use of social media in church. So he had a robust conversation, about 10 minutes worth, titled, "What About Online Church Communion?" And so their church practices online communion, being more of a non-denominational persuasion. And I also link to a bunch of resources that have been developed by Dr. Gregory Neal, who is a Methodist pastor, and he's aggregated a number of sermons and articles and theological reflections about Holy Communion on the web. And a last item I shared on the show notes is a shout-out to my old friend Jay Voorhees, who is also a Methodist pastor. He had ran a Methodist podcast called the Methocast back in the, the mid-2000s, if my memory serves me correctly. And you can listen to one of the old podcast episodes of his conversation with Leo Laporte of the twit.tv Netcast fame. I'd love to have you join in the conversation here at Social Media Church by adding a comment or using social media. All the links to our Twitter and Facebook, even Pinterest, is at socialmediachurch.net. And you can call in or text in your comments on our voicemail hotline. The number is 94935432 16. The number again, 94935432 16. This wraps up another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.